listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I had a wonderful time watching a program, and I just want to tell you to drive you to a certain place, Nova, wherever you get Nova. Click on to, is it PBS? Is there? Yes, but I saved it, so I don't know where it is now, but I still have a copy of it. It's called Memory Hackers. And that fascinated me to no end. Now, I was happy to learn that all of that electric stuff and all the ways that memory begins to grow with use, etc., etc. It's very interesting to kind of watch it photographically. But then there are some things that they are doing that really is Pavlovian. Pavlov. He understood how to control the minds of animals, and then he controlled the minds of people, which is just as easy, if not easier, and caused them to have to cause them to indict themselves to crimes or to believe that they committed a crime even though they didn't. And the ability to achieve such a wicked event, even though it's sort of fun and interesting in, for science to do these things and prove the point, which I've done a long time ago, but it's a dangerous thing to mess with. And so you can get people to have false memories. And 7 out of 10 people can be made to have false memories. So that would be very bad if you had a jury. See, that's how a clever attorney can check out many of those and pick them up and create a memory in his way of doing things, as I know how to do. But I don't like to do that, of course. I have no worry about my adversary, which you see me attacking every day I do this program. I am literally doing that to a lot of people, but not willfully. You see, when you tell the truth or you speak of it, and as you live from it, it's not just somebody speaking about it. No, it's an epiphany to the listening, observing, or observing observer, to where it's directed and where it's accepted. But where it's not accepted, the perfect truth. Now, don't tell me there's no such thing as a perfect truth and that you can't live perfectly. See, because we're going to touch on that if you wish. The number is 800-866-8883. I'm not talking about the Supreme Court, because I've warned you about this. And this is a death sentence to America unless you turn it around. You understand that? That was murder, in my opinion. And the radio already bombed him. Already, so all the clues are sort of shut down. Bombed him already, the day after. You know there's something smelly going on, don't you? But let me not go about that, because it's all over the news, so, you know, it's just something it could backfire on the administration. It really could. And I hope it will, because I hope I have spoken to enough people to stop tolerating wickedness and understand that you have to deal with evil with good and overcome it with good, otherwise it overcomes you. And this is basically the subject of my program. But mostly around Nova, because that way you can see. Now, I tell you I have a bad memory. But that they also had another part about memory, which is, I think it was involved with that, because there's two series, and one after the other get them mixed up because they're so interesting. Nova is very interesting stuff. there was a part where a young man could remember everything, every part of the day, from the rest of his life. He's about 12, 13 years old, but he knows every minute, moment, and the thing itself. That is not necessarily good. It is quite remarkable, but he can't forget things. That's the problem. And it's important for us to realize and look at what we do wrong. Unless he's perfect, unless he knows what perfect is and doesn't have any problems, he'll be all right. But we'll be right back. Don't go away. We'll finish off after the break.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Oh, hello again. I'm starting off the program. God bless the person that called. His name is Paul. But I was talking about, you know, memory hackers on Nova. I do ask you to look at that, and so that we can discuss that subject as it pertains to all of you. And let me give you a little clue, and then I'll go to my caller right away, who's right now in New Hampshire. They had a slug from the bottom of the ocean. This is when I see things, I'm on it. If I have a problem with people's names, just to give you that example, with all due respect, please don't get upset when I tell you this. But I see most people as telephone poles. I don't mean to say they really are, but just as a way of saying it. And so they're just telephone poles with different names. It's only a certain kind of person I can remember to speak to. And I forget many of the names of my own family. That doesn't mean to say I'm sort of weird in any way or retarded. I find that having memory, too much memory, is bad for you. The child that has all the memory and knows every moment for every second and can't forget, don't you understand? Unless he's perfect all the way from the day he's born, that's not the case. So where does what I say, redemption come in? Everybody would admire that kind of thing. Everybody would love to have a memory like that, bang, like that. I'm not so confused, see. I find that I can express myself better with the exotic words. If you listen to the politicians and lawyers, they speak whatever they're true or false with such language as that you get lost in the noise, in the wordings. It's not clear. I think the truth is very simple, and it should be simple. As a matter of fact, it's so simple. There's nothing to do, nothing to it. Until you realize the truth can only be found by what is mentioned in the Bible as be still and know, but the mystery of what being still so no can catch up with you has been lost. And so I will share that with you as the program continues. And as I promised, I would take my first call. And let's see, it's 800-866-8883. And please call me at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. every night, Monday through Friday, and excuse the voice. It's still a little hoarse. Okay, now, I'll have to shout a little bit to have a voice, so don't think I'm angry when I'm shouting. Good evening, Paul. How are you?
Good evening, Roy, and thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it. Roy, I have a problem, and it may be something that other people have, and maybe they've called in and you've discussed it. I'm not really sure.
No, it's always worth repeating.
Yeah, since I was a teenager, I remember the specific day it happened, but when I was a teenager, I had a panic attack occur. I was in an auditorium at the time, and
yes.
Since then, to me, it's incurable. If anything, it's gotten perhaps even worse over the years.
Okay.
And I've never understood why it happened and how helpless I am to do anything about it, really.
So are you saying that if you could understand it, you could be cured?
Well, I don't know, even know that. I don't know. All I'm saying is it's, and I read that
well,
a lot of people
what
have.
What do you think can cure you? I'm just playing with you for a little while, if you don't mind.
Well, I honestly think, this is going to sound crazy.
No?
But, I mean, I know God has the power to do anything. That I'm above.
Well, he made you.
He did.
Yes.
I'm not sure he did such a great job, but...
No, I think he did a wonderful job. It's you spoiled it.
Yeah, you're right. I messed up somewhere.
Yes.
This one's... The problem with the type of a fear, or whatever you call it, agoraphobia, is it prohibits your life so much because you can't go to a lot of events.
Is that the only symptom?
Yes.
There is no other symptom?
That I'm aware of.
How is it affecting your health?
No, I'm fine.
Are you good? How old are you?
67.
Okay. So how long have you been listening to me?
Oh, for off and on for about 35 years.
So why haven't you called me 35 years ago?
I called you once about 25 years ago. Not about this, about something else.
You didn't give me much of a chance, did you?
No. I called you once before. You were in the New England area and I called you. But
so,
it wasn't about this item. I don't know why I didn't think of it, but...
So let me see then. Fear. Phobia, I says... What's the difference between phobia and fear?
I don't know.
So that's the name that the phobia is what they gave you. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, I've never gone to a shrink or anything. In fact, I'm embarrassed.
So that's your own language?
Yeah, I hide it from everybody. I mean, if I have to go to an event, I make an excuse. I mean, my wife knows about it, but...
All right, now let me start from the beginning. I've got enough information.
Yeah.
So this auditorium...
Uh-huh.
What were you there for?
I was in high school and it was just a large class and all of a sudden I'm sitting there very calmly, doing my work and I just got like an attack. It's hard to explain it to somebody who doesn't.
Well, you try to explain it to me,
okay.
And I'll listen to what your words and your voice says.
I was about 15 years old when it happened.
Yes.
And, I just started to get scared, frightened in this room. It's crazy.
Oh, okay, hold it right there. Well,
yeah.
So what was the subject matter?
Oh, it was a spare room. The thing was, it was a spare, meaning it's a place where people go and can do anything they want in terms of study. It's a, I don't know what you call it.
I know what you mean. Yeah, it's free for all.
Yeah, it wasn't a specific class of anything. They put us 1 hour a day. You got pushed into the school.
Okay, now hold a second.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a further question. So there's nothing there that could set you off that you know about, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So now we have to go back a little bit further back.
I can tell you one other incident. It may be related. When I was a little boy of maybe 6 or 7, I remember having sometimes, you know, like all children, you get an illness, a fever or a cold or whatever.
Rheumatic fever?
No, just a normal,
normal fever, yes.
Normal illness that children, and during those times I would have a strange dream, and it may be related. I would be outside looking up at this huge building. I'd be right next to the skyscraper building, and I'd look up at it, and just the fear of that height of that building would make me shake.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, I got that. So who in your family did the pushing you to learn?
Honestly, I had great parents. They never pressured me. I'm ashamed to say I can't point the finger at them.
So
I think I pressured me. I know.
Well, wait a minute. Well, yeah, that's easy. But it has to be preceded by something that caused you to do it. Something is, see, in other words, you are telling me that achievement has become a goal that's compulsive to achieve something better or as good as anybody else. Is that correct? It was the skyscraper represents your future. Is that correct?
It may have been a tall wall. I don't remember exactly what it was. I just remember looking up at it. And this only happened when I was ill and I'd go into these
frightened
like,
you.
Dreams.
That frightened you.
Yeah. And then I'd wake up and
yeah, but there's something before that.
God, I was like 6
No,
or 7
no, there's something before that.
Okay.
We got to go further back.
Okay.
Because you said you're kind of good at hiding things. And
yeah.
you're doing that now with me.
Honestly, I'm not.
Honestly, you don't realize it.
Yeah, okay.
That could
be. I'm being as truthful as I can.
You see how long it's taken you between the last call, 25 years, and this one?
Yeah.
So why would you wait so long? There's a reason why you waited so long.
I always felt like I would be imposing. I'm very, very...
No, you got a false memory.
Okay.
That's not your memory. It is something inside you that is afraid of me. You love me. You respect me because you've listened to all these years.
Yeah.
But something inside you made you feel unworthy of me. And I'm not the kind of person that projects that.
No, you know something, what it is? Little problem, and I don't want to say little problem, but I always put it kind of on the back burner because in the scheme of things, I'm not...
No, you're not following me.
But
I'm trying to hold you to the grid.
Okay, go ahead, hold.
See, you keep running away from it. I'm focusing as split as I can. I mean, as focused as I can. And you keep running away from it each side.
Okay.
So the question is, what is keeping you back? What is making you feel inferior or a botheration to me? What is doing that? And you love me for all these years. You listened to me for all these years, and you couldn't approach me. That is not you. That is an identity crisis in you that gives you the fear. It in you resents me.
I enjoy listening to you, and
I know you do, but you do not enjoy coming forward to me because I am in the picture. You like me. You told me that you didn't want to bother me in a certain way. You had your own way of saying it. You felt inferior or
no,
didn't want.
I don't think I do.
What was the wording?
Well, in my opinion, I look at this as a...
Come on now, be straight, because you're
honestly, I'm
stuttering. You shouldn't be stuttering to remember what you said. I'm the one that can stutter to remember what you said.
I just feel in the scheme of things, you have more important people to cure.
No, that's not... I do not do that to you. I do not do that to you. There's something in you that I'm doing that to that makes you think it's your thought.
Okay.
You do not have your own thoughts. You have the thoughts. These ideas are false ideas, keeping you from salvation. You recognize the real you is recognizing that I have that for you. But the dark side of you will keep you from it and make you feel inferior to me.
I'm calling tonight because I think you know. I'm being that candid. If I'm not coming across well,
you're doing very well. But I'm not. What is in you? You need to understand that you're not you. Like most people, you're not you.
Yeah.
In other words, you have not lived your own life. You've lived the life of that which makes you doubt truth. Because you cover up whatever it is that's making you feel embarrassed. And I sense that you haven't done, you're a good guy, and you're not really embarrassed of anything. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So then why would you feel that way? It's not you. It's not you. Don't you get it? Hold it.
Yeah.
Hold the words. It's not me. Then who is it? Where did it come from? Do you have something inside you? Another person? Okay. Oh, here we are again. Now, what I'm trying to say to you, my dear friend, is that it could happen in minutes after you were born. It could happen to you when you were 2 or 3 and you saw the behavior of your parents and in a not a good light. It could be things that were said to you and to make you feel inferior, because children aren't born with that kind of inferiority naturally. It's unnatural. Children are all born with are positive, but they're injected into a culture that is negative. And the first negative people you see or experience is your own parents. And your own parents who do not realize, as you don't realize, they are not themselves. So the not themselves in them got to be the not yourself in you. You have never had your own life, like nearly all the people listening to me now, who seem to be normal Americans, but are really subnormal Americans. They're still Americans and they're like, what's right, but they don't know how to live it. And they keep it a secret with a smile. You're just one of them.
Listen,
you're too busy rushing forward. I'm asking you to consider seriously what I said.
I do.
And then go away and call me tomorrow.
Well, I have one quick question for you.
All right, but what did you understand? I'll answer that. What's the quick question?
Really, the only question I have is, and I believe it'll happen, if I meditate long enough, whatever's wrong.
No, that won't do it. No, that's the wrong belief.
Really?
That's right.
So because I try to do the meditation with as pure a heart as I can. I don't even think.
No, you can't make a pure heart. You are.
You know what I mean?
You are completely confused. You cannot give yourself a pure heart. Look at yourself.
Well, I don't mean that. I mean, I go in.
Oh, yes, you do. You said it.
Okay.
It came out of your mouth. I know what you meant, but it's negative. That's the same entity. Listen to me. Slow down. It's the same entity that gives you the anxiety, because it's not you that has the anxiety. It's it. It's afraid you'll find out. It's afraid you'll find out you're possessed.
Can I say one thing, though, to you that happened to me about 25 years ago? You were helpful with me on that.
All right.
I was doing the meditation when I was in my 30s, and I that's about the time that I found out about you. And I was very good about doing it and so forth. And one night I'm in bed, and I had, oh, my God, I had a dream of these snakes crawling.
There you go.
Two big snakes. And I woke up, and my whole pillow was wet with tears. And I know that was a good thing.
How do you know it was a good thing?
Because I felt that the tears meant that there was some kind of reaching out to God, and I was crying. It had to be, in my opinion. Uh-huh. And the snakes were something coming out of me that needed to come out of me.
If I say there may be more snakes or whatever it is? And since you have still got your problem, the snakes coming out didn't do a whole lot of good.
But I stopped meditating, you see. I think that was the issue, Roy.
Well, so therefore the snakes coming out was in disagreement with the entity within you and caused you not to proceed.
I think I was on the edge of breaking through it, and I quit. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes. Why would you quit?
I don't know. Maybe fear.
No, but I'm trying to tell you, you're not yourself. You have another self. I want you to just think and just wait for me tomorrow. and let it sort of sink in, that everything you said that's negative is counterintuitive, and therefore something exists within you that gives you false memories.
So you think by talking to you tomorrow, I'll be able to actually, something good will come of this?
Not necessarily, because therefore you're actually putting me to the test to make sure.
No, but
I hear what you're saying.
I'm seeking.
Which is, no, what you're saying is negative. So you think, no, you can't know what I think. See, I can hear you. You can't know what I think. I don't guarantee I see it. That is talking to me like my wife. You're assuming, and then I'm supposed to.
No,
you don't understand. Try to understand me. That is not appropriate. It's still the wrong way to think of this way. To think of me as being able to help you when I can't help you. Only the spirit inside me that you can hear. And when you hear me speak to you, and all of a sudden, you feel like I will try to find a word for it, a bouquet of flowers, see, that kind of beauty and relief for a moment, to almost instantly recognize, oh, I see that. And in other words, I'm waiting for you to hear the tone of my voice that is the energy of what is speaking through me. And so it's like a breath of fresh air. That's how you'll feel when I strike a chord.
I just hope you strike the chord.
No, you don't want to do that.
Okay.
You need to, it is what it is. Just don't worry about, now don't be worrying about tomorrow when you call or the next day. I don't want you to focus on a hope I'm going to get better. Because then you'll be obsessed with it. I want you to just thank you for the call. And if you feel according to what I said and you call me, I will help you, but don't expect anything.
No, I
don't want you. No, I'm asking you not to expect anything when you call. Just have a nice chat with me.
But
because to expect anything, no.
This has been a tough problem for me, and, I'm kind of at wit's end.
I would say you're almost helplessly tied up in your own attempt to make yourself a better person. And you don't even know what made you a worse person.
No, I have no clue.
I have no clue, but
if I
suggest I would suggest is you've swallowed it and shoved it down for a long time.
Wow!
And at that point, it's nothing to do with the auditorium. It has to do with you've got so much pressed down. It something had to surface.
All I can think is I must have been under pressure, and
no, everything you say is well. These ideas. Well, if you're going to say something valuable, then you say it, because I think you're just about to say it. So let me hear if it's so.
God, I wish I could.
You almost went there. You said I think, and then I stopped you.
What I think happened, I'm guessing. I don't know, Roy, honestly, but I think I was.
Don't you know anything at all about yourself?
Yeah, I
did. Are you so confused that you don't really know anything about yourself?
I do, but this thing, this has got me stumped. I'm fine with everything else. This has got me I'm helpless. I'm totally helpless.
Then it isn't fine. You're not fine. You're only okay for the time being. You're not really ready to crumble. But crumbling is next. That's where the anxiety is. All right. Well, hold the line a minute. Do you have a fear of open places? Is he there?
Yes, I'm
okay.
Here.
Do you have a fear of open places?
I do.
Okay. So, yes, they got a name for it. But I don't like giving names.
Agoraphobia, I believe.
Yes. Yes, you have fear of open places.
Yeah.
But you're not confident of yourself.
Gee, so, I'm successful in everything I try. I don't think I lack confidence.
Well, it is simple. There can be a real reason for it, which you could name. But there could be a series of incidents that will coalesce into this state of mind. In other words, if you're successful, let me suggest you. I suggest that your insecurity has made you become successful. But it's the wrong kind of success. Mm-hmm. In other words, you have not found, somehow you've lost your way, and we will talk about that tomorrow.
But that's somehow, fine, and I appreciate you taking the
yes.
time.
So you've lost your way,
yeah.
a purpose in your life, and you felt inferior, and you feel like nothing. So you made up your mind you're going to do the best you can and be the best you can and succeed in this or that. And that becomes a distraction for what the problem is all about. You're trying to unconsciously... The Bible, if I may quote a Bible, because it says it so succinctly, seek first the kingdom of God and all other things will be added to you. There's nothing you need to pursue. But when you start to pursue and make your own story or set your own goals, it separates you further and further away from who you could be. Into the darkness of whatever darkness is. And so at a certain point, your success turns into failure, a sense of worthlessness. Because the more you're like a drug addict. Your addict is achieving success and doing so. But in doing so, after you've got the success in one place, it wears off, and then immediately you've enjoyed the journey, so you set another, and you continue that journey by creating more and more purposes and succeeding. But that journey is not the journey God has for you and all of his children. That is the journey of the dark side, distracting you and letting you use your intelligence, which is born into you, to become good at things, but the more you get, the more you want. It's the same as money, it's sex, the same as everything else. You want to be a success. You're running away from reality, but doing all good things, but not in a good way. And sooner or later...
Sense.
Huh? It makes sense to
that
you?
That makes a lot of sense to me. It really does.
Yes, it's...
But it was just the...
Well, but what you're afraid of now, what's the whole future? That's the open space. Your future is... You can't do this anymore.
I could even live with that. I don't want to die without knowing...
Well, tomorrow you call me. Tomorrow you call me. All right.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, you take Paul off now because I'll talk to him tomorrow. He's taking up too much time. But, ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't hear it, the last thing I said to Paul in, where was it, New Hampshire? Yes. Last thing I said to him, you may not have heard it because the commercial would have been there in some stations. I said his journey is compensation. I quoted the scripture to make a point. Seek first the kingdom of God and all other things, stuff, will be given to you. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all other things shall be given unto you. Now, that can cause a tremendous, with all the good of success, or pseudo-success, with all of it, it's all your willfulness, or the willfulness that holds you captive. And so the more you succeed, the more you are lifted, but the success is equivalent to a drug or eating. So actually, if you want to know the real truth, which is even deeper, is that I can express it with food more easily. It's not the pleasure of the food so much, because it only lasts a few minutes. And it's not the sex so much that you want, because the pleasure only lasts, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. See, it's looking forward to it. It felt lifted. It felt like I've achieved it. I've done it. I'm driving a nice car. And that is, wow, what a nice feeling. You're into feelings. But why are you into feelings? Then you set another goal. The more you succeed, damned if you succeed, because the damnation continues to want more. It's like money. The more you get, the more you want. It's like sex. The more you have it, the more you want it. If it's improprietous, if it's natural and it's out of love, and if you do things and achieve things with God giving you directions, and that is a complicated, a difficult thing to explain in 1 second on the air. I would have you call me if you want to really understand this subject matter very seriously, because a lot of you have given up being anything and committing suicide, because everything you do is going backwards. And there comes a point to I got a word that's missing here. It's whatever you achieve, whatever your ambition is a drug. It becomes a drug. The more you get, the more you want. And the more you want, the further you will plan to get what you want. So it's really, the pleasure is not the thing itself, but looking away from what's wrong to feel right. The whole journey is a distraction. And it only catches up to you as fear and anxiety when suddenly you haven't got the strength to do any more. That can go on for a long time. And everybody cheers. Everybody loves you. And you have all the things you want, but losing the things you should have. What did the scripture say about that too? If a boy asks for whatever food it was. What was it? I just remember the Bible a little bit. If asking him for food, would he give him a stone? No. But what you're getting is stuff that's like the stone. And that is completely opposite, 180 degrees opposite of this one. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, I won't go the rest of it because you know it. But why would you seek anything but that, except you've been displaced by what it means to seek? As a compensation for the story that God will give you to unfold. Some of the most beautiful stories are made in movies, El Cid and things like that. And Bible stories where they go through trials and tribulations only to realize that they need to deal with those trials and tribulations with a certain majesty, a certain magic that is not earthy, found on earth, but only within. I do hope that my friends listening to me right now, what doesn't mean to say you should give up all your things. I'm not saying that. Some cold crony could use that the way I talk to you and get all your money. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you need to consider what a goal is, what a purpose is, and how it is achieved. Well, the how is impossible because you can't give it to yourself. I can't give it to you, but I can show you where it is, and I know the place. It's called stillness. Be still and know. I am God, and you ain't. That is it. In other words, as a mortal person, you really cannot decide your own faith without it coming, even in success, without you bringing you down in the most awful ways. Because you've done it all, and nothing really helped you. But you thought it did, and you thought if I did more, I would feel better. Because it always makes you feel better until it starts to make you feel worse. But then you can't stop doing it, and you can't stop feeling worse. And the whole world is in front of you. The whole space of your time is left, leaving you not being afraid to make the next move. See, that's where the problem of, you know, being afraid of open spaces comes in. There's other reasons too. But I didn't hear him say that, so I reverted to what I just said. Is that meaningful to you? 800-866-8883. Now let me go back to what it is. You need to go to Nova. I wish I had written it down, but it's all about memory. And there are some things in that which are very interestingly scientific as neurons grow to help you with your memories and to help you with this and that. It grows little spider webs, and so that you cannot possibly understand how they work, which is quite a miracle in itself. But you can see them growing, and they give you photographs of these things actually growing when you're learning something, etc., etc. But when it came to the slugs on the bottom of the ocean, and they are experimenting with a slug, they are simply, I'm going to go with this, you will see them doing something very strange. They take the slug and they give it electric shock. They take the most simple creature they could find, the slug. It has a name for it, but it's the bottom feeder. It's really a stupid creature, but it doesn't have any anxiety, if you know what I mean, like we do. But it still is what it is. We should be is what it is, but we is what is not. That's where your anxiety is coming from. The slug doesn't have anxiety because it can't do anything wrong. It acts like a slug. If you could act like a human being, then you wouldn't have any anxiety, but you have a choice. Something's taken you away from the good choice to a bad one. And you think you can fix it. And you know what right is. You got it on your scriptures. You have it in your mind. You know right from wrong. You still have that perception of what virtue and honor and integrity is, and you do a good job trying to do that. But you see, it's trying. You can't give yourself that gift of eternal life. You can only do that by pleasing your Father. And he's giving you a poise. So go ahead, do ahead and do what you want. And find out, see if you can find out what you're looking for. That's the purpose. You are already, I'm just telling you, in concert with what you said, that your redemption is already given to you before you're born. I say to you that you weren't born like Adam. He was a brand new creature. And for reasons I will hold back, it's too complicated for you to understand right now. It's not necessary. For a reason, he only made one that sinned. And through him, death through sin spread through the human race. This sounds like it sounds like cruelty, doesn't it? No, it's not cruelty. Because every child that comes into the world has intuition and has a potential awaiting for him a potential redemption. In other words, you've already been redeemed. It only waits for you to be exhausted and gone everywhere, churches everywhere, success, drugs, alcohol, women. It's okay. I don't say it's okay, but it's part of the wrong journey, which successively, one after the other, makes you more conflicted. Conflicted with yourself, conflicted with other people. You say damning yourself, killing yourself, but we hope that doesn't happen, please, if you have that thought tonight. Just give me a call, by the way. But the point is, you can be so full of anxiety that you cannot stand it anymore. And something is in complete control of you that is it 100 degree opposite to that which should be. So how do you go back? You don't. You go forward. Be still. Stop. Then what is stop? That's the question, isn't it? How do you stop? It's not, see, how long did it take me? And almost, listen, I'm not looking for any ties, but I'll be 88, comes April the 2nd. So, you know, I'm doing pretty strong for that, I think. My memory is not that good, but I don't care about people's names, places, things. The only thing I care for is how does a flower grow? See, something like that. How did the universe begin? And there's lots of thoughts going through my mind, little pieces and pieces and pieces and pieces. I don't know what the piece is that fits my next move. But somewhere it's there in the loop of thoughts, which are not bothering me. Just little things. I lost my keys and where that and this. You know, the new normal things, but not being frustrated at losing my keys. I lost my keys. Yeah. I broke my leg, I lost my leg. Okay? I need a heart problem. I needed a heart operation. Okay, if I die. It's all part of a story. And so far, so good. I am learning and growing not to be afraid of anything. And that's what I want you to be, my fellow Americans. Thank you. Okay. Well, let me see. I don't see anything on my screen that will help me to give a commercial. But I was just saying a few minutes ago that there's a something to do with be still and know. And that's a riddle. It must be cracked. And it's to the spiritual person, it's easy to grasp. And to a spiritual person who's tied up and knows right from wrong, but knows they cannot stop doing the wrong, but trying to fix it, will eventually realize that they cannot, nor can anybody else. See? And so so when you're listening to me, I ask you, stop trying and let anxiety catch up with you a little bit. No, but it has to be in this way. Let me tell you a story, how I first discovered it. It was many years ago, in about 1970. It was around that time. I had the Institute of Hypnosis. And we'll be talking about the slug in a little bit because we've got a lot of time about hypnosis. Because the what I'm about to speak about the slug is from Nova. Is the same thing that happens to you, let me tell it to you again because I need to say it then. They take the slug and they touch it gently. And then give it electric shock. And it cringes. And after several times doing it, they learn to react. So when when there's no electric shock and you touch that creature, that slug, it reacts as if it was electric. And that is you. In other words, that slug is what I call hypnotized or compromised. But in a slug, that could be positive, because it will learn, if it doesn't die from it, it will learn to defend itself by evolution, if you like, growing to compensate if it is in the environment.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
So let me continue with the subject of the slug and electric shock. That's Pavlov's trick with dogs. But we'll go into that some other time. And there was this condition and reflex response. So if a changes take place in the slug, and it presents itself by learning how to be a light in the darkness. Yes, because if you look in the ocean, there's all kinds of creatures that have to make their own lights. See? But sooner or later, generations from slug generations to slug generations, it adapt electricity or whatever it was, which is represented by the touch, into its future behaviors of all the creatures. It's the same thing in the principle as one man's sin and death through sin ran through the human race. See? So it's each one of us has the same problem of being conditioned reflex response, conditioning. But you didn't come into the world conditioned. You came into the world pure. See, with common sense to guide you. But right close to being born in a family or not, it doesn't matter, because most human beings do not know who they are. As I said in Nova about, the nervous system and the slug and Pavlov with his dogs, he was able to control the mechanism of dogs by simply ringing a bell when they were eating and ringing a bell while they were eating and then ringing a bell and they find there's nothing in the plate and ringing the bell and finding nothing in the plate. They get frustrated. And the frustration now, the next time it comes, oh, there's the food again. Ringing the bell. See, now he comes more hungrily, more quickly to the surface of the food in his body. See that? So you can do that to an animal, and you could also do it to people. That animal can't see the force that is doing it to him. Cannot. And you cannot see the force that is doing that to you. But you have one thing different from the slug, who cannot see because he has no perception. He may have some eyeballs in some way of seeing or somehow groping or seeing. And that's the way I want to use it. Seeing meaning human beings have the same percentage of this. They are, let me say, they're awake and they're asleep. A dog is awake, is also going to go to sleep, but it doesn't know it exists. It may have some kind of soul, some doggy soul, but whatever it is, it's not like, it's no redemptive action apparent. There's no anything, it's just another dog. creating another dog, and so on and so forth. And with a better dog, you can breed better ones or worse ones, like you can with people. You can breed better people or less people, but they're not the breeding of the good people are just phonies. And so is the breeding of the people who are willful, are subject to those phonies who are more powerful or more smart. It's all programmed. But there's something that a human being has that no other creature has, intuitiveness and being able to see and experience what inherited wrong is in them. And when I say inherited wrong, it's always an inherited wrong that you could possess for yourself. You make wrong decisions, but you think of it yourself. But if you get guilty and frustrated, you can actually project it on somebody else so you don't have to see it. Don't have to see that you're wrong, you just project it on the other person and make them more wrong than you. And relieve yourself for a little while, just from anxiety. And so you have a third gift. It's of life. It is to perceive, to see and perceive. That is destroyed as you come into the world at some point, you know, within the first 5 years, 6 years. There it is. And pretty soon you start to feel that you are being controlled by other forces, and all you need to have happen to you is have someone touch you mentally, emotionally, physically, what is similar to what did you in, and cause you to keep reacting and struggling or giving into it entirely and doing to other people what was done unto you. So I adjure you, please, please, find a way to get to my website, FHU.com, Foundation of Human Understanding, FHU.com, and download the 7-minute meditation at no choice, no charge, I mean. And if you have friends that don't like me, then don't take them to my website. Oh, there's Roy Masters. We know about him. So go to the website and download, either download or get them to listen to the 7-minute meditation, which is exactly what be still and to know is. Okay? And no charge. Please share it with as many people as you can without pontificating or proselytizing. Would you please not proselytize? Just say, if you find somebody you feel angsty, you're taking drugs, yeah. How's the sex lately? It's getting worse. Oh, it's good, but it's not good enough. You see, all these anxieties needs to come to be still and know. And then when you know the truth about yourself, don't get mad. Don't clench your fist and say, damn hammer, instead of, you know, hitting your finger with it. You know, just want to feel the pain and not be upset with it. I'll show you how. Okay. Okay, now please, would you take a pencil and paper or pen? And please help me to spread this word as I ask you to do it. If it works for you, just take your friend, call your friend and say, hey, I've got an answer for your problem. Give it a try. That's all you need to say. No proselytization. No proselytizing. No, please. See, you don't belong to anything except you. And if that's the case, you'll be okay. They'll do it and get better like you. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. That's Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Or FHU.com, Foundation of Human Understanding. Please support the program with your tax-deductible donations. Thank you.